Okay, this coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Be'ha'alosecha. And of course, in Parshas Be'ha'alosecha, we're told Be'ha'alosecha Saneros, when you go up to light, and Rashi cites the famous Medrash, that Aaron was distressed about his situation wherein he and his entire Shevet didn't merit to participate in the Karbanos HaNesiim. So Moshe consoled him by reminding him, Shalcha Gedolah Mishalahem, your benefit is greater than theirs, She'ata Madlik Umeitev Saneros, that you're going to light the candles and you're going to go ahead and make them better. So the late great Rav Chaim Kamil, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, one of the great products of the Mir Yeshiva, turned around and asked, why was it that his Shevet didn't merit the chance to bring a carbon? Why were the Levim left out of Chanukah's Mishkan? So Rav Kamil answered that when we consider that the Nesiim were also the beaten police in Mitzrayim, the Shotrei B'nai Yisrael, who took the hits for the people, and Shevet Levi was not among those who were enslaved, it's clear why they didn't have a Nasi represent them at this experience. They didn't have somebody who was Zoche to handle this particular situation. Right, then we get to the story of Pesach Sheni, as the parsha continues, and we're told that the people approached Moshe, and they said, Lama Nigara, why should we lose out? And Rashi tells us that those who couldn't bring the Karban Pesach wanted the Kohanim to sprinkle the blood for them and have other pure people eat on their behalf. So why would they make such a request? It doesn't help fulfill the mitzvah at all. In other words, even if you can't eat the carbon, why? What's the big deal? So Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal explained that we learn from here that even if one cannot fulfill a particular mitzvah, it's still worthwhile to participate in whatever way that one can. And that was the desire that existed in the Midbar with the B'nai Levi. So Moshe responds to them and he says, listen, Imdu v'eshma mayitzav Hashem aleichem. Stand here, stay here, and I will listen what Hashem commands to you. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik Zatzal explained that the times that Moshe tended to forget halachos were often to establish certain halachos. So for instance, when he needed to find out the halacha by the Mekoshesh, it was to teach us the Dinei Nefashos, and so he needed to hear the halacha. But when it came to Pesach Sheni, it was not to learn the specifics of the halacha, but rather to evaluate the depression of the people. And even in this matter, the Rav needs to evaluate the details. He needs to be able to understand it. We're told by Ibn Soa Ha'aron Vayomer Moshe, Kuma Hashem Yafutzu Eivecha, at what becomes the turning point of the parsha, according to Rav Soloveitchik with the Nunim Hafuchim, we're told that when the Aaron used to move, Hashem said, climb up, rise up, and let your enemies be scattered. Now, why are we talking about war and enemies and haters when we take out a Sefer Torah? So Rav Chagai Lundin Shlita, one of the Rosh Yeshiva, one of the Ramim in Yeshivat Sderot, once explained that at the beginning of Bnei Yisrael's trip in the desert, there was an inevitable war. There was going to be inner struggles, there were going to be outer struggles, and that's how it is with every person. When we want to learn Torah, when we want to move forward in life, when we want to implement the values that we believe in, or to settle in the land of Israel, we're going to have to develop coping skills to face a raid of enemies and haters and distractors. But we must draw strength from the Torah to cope with those difficulties. But this isn't, of course, the ideal final situation. After we gather and we read from the Torah, after we are reminded of the values that Torah uses in guiding us, we put the book back in its place and we say a totally different perspective. Shuva Hashem Rivavos Alfei Yisrael Drachel Darchei Noam V'chonis Yivosah Shalom. And this is what's taking place at the time that we turn around and we put our Sefer Torah back. And we're told, Ha'asaf Sufa Asher Bekirbo Isavu Taiva, that there was a desire, the desirous had a desire. And there the Misavim, the ones who had the desire, complained about not having certain food. And yet, Chazal tell us that the food was not really about the food, it was rather about the arayos, the restrictions. And why didn't Chazal just tell us the pshat and understand that there was complaint, it was about food? So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, explained that Chazal understood true human nature. The rabbis really understood what humans do. Complainers wouldn't have issued such petty complaints about food unless there was something latent that was also really bothering them. They were really bothered about the arayos, but it expressed itself in complaints about the food. My friend Rabbi Shapiro was telling me the other week that this is something he learned also from one of his rabbeim, who was in the middle of explaining that there are times where people experience some sort of difficulty when they come home and they tell you that they have a lot of fights at home. Because they come home, they just want a moment's peace. And so this Rebbe was telling Rabbi Shapiro, he remembers, and a bunch of other Talmidim, he remembers telling him, oh, so you must have a problem with your chavrus in yeshiva. He says, I'm coming to you to talk about my problems at home. He says, you must have a problem with your chavrus in yeshiva. Because if you're coming home from learning in the yeshiva, and the small issues are bothering you, it's beginning in another place. And that's what Rav Yaakov is pointing out here as well, that a person has to go ahead and recognize it differently. We're told about Tidabir Miriam be'Aron be'Moshe. Miriam spoke to Aaron, and Aaron spoke about Moshe. Now, when Miriam speaks about the Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't find that Moshe responds. In fact, all of Kal Yisrael stops, and one would expect a response, but yet Moshe Rabbeinu remains silent. And Diane Swift in Moreshes Moshe Zatzal explains that we learn from here that when leaders spend their time and energy responding to criticism, they're often swept off their feet. Leadership requires a dignified unity, and that we must not barter our dignity for selfish self-interest. A person has to go ahead and hold his dignity tall and proud. We're also told about Tidabir Miriam v'Aaron b'Moshe. How are we supposed to understand the conversation between Miriam and Aaron about Moshe? How are we supposed to understand that Rashi, regarding the juxtaposition of the story and the story of the Meraglim, which we're going to start off our parsha with next week? How are these things supposed to make sense? So Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal explained that it has to do with the fact that they needed to understand the uniqueness of Moshe, and they didn't. And the Meraglim also didn't understand the uniqueness of the land of Israel. They looked at things on a surface level. More broadly, this points to understand the other's perspective and ideas, and only then to assess and evaluate. Before we judge and evaluate others' opinions, ideas, actions, and perspectives, we have to understand them and those perspectives. Then we can respond, because we'll have a more fuller picture. Finally, the Haftorah this week is what we call the Rani V'Simchei Haftorah, which is also the Haftorah of Shabbos Chanukah. Now, what's its connection to the text of the parasha? So the Rambam, Mamor Nevuchim, notes that there's a key difference between the quality of the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu and that of other Nevi'im. Moshe receives his Nevuah from Hashem directly, while he was alert and awake. Other Nevi'im receive their Nevuah via Malach, and usually in a dream, in an unclear mode that we call an Aspaklaria She'eno Me'ira. Or Rabbi Rav Shechter notes that this is seen most openly in the Nevuah of Zechariah. Rashi notes that Zechariah's Nevuahs were so close that we're not really sure of there entirely until a Mor Tzedek will come and explain them. Zechariah's Nevuah in the Haftorah was not even clear after he had it. Only after being asked by the Malach, he understands the message of the Nevuah, does Zechariah bother to answer in the negative, and the Malach explains to him, this is what I'm here to tell you. Lo b'chayev, lo b'koach, ki im beruchi. And herein, Rav Shechter says, this is where the difference between Moshe and the other Nevi'im becomes apparent. Indeed, at the end of the parasha, we read about Miriam and Aaron's challenge to the difference between their qualitative Nevuah and Moshe's. And Hashem underscores Moshe's unique prophetic status by confirming it to Miriam and Aaron, and then striking Miriam with Tzaras. And that difference, the supremacy of the Nevuah of Moshe, continues to serve as a basic fundamental in the faith of the Jew until today, that we have a responsibility to tell us that while we believe in all the Divrei HaNevi'im, the Nevuah's Moshe Rabbeinu was head and shoulders above all of the others. Okay, we'll stop here, and we want to wish everybody a wonderful, terrific, amazing Shabbos to all.